It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Houston proud and Houston strong.
Sports Talk 790 Astroline. Astroline. The official preseason show of Astros baseball. This is where we talk about your Astros. Join the show. Post your questions and comments on social media. Just be sure to hashtag Astroline.
That's how you do it.
Continue success and continue winning.
You're talking about a dynasty.
Live from West Palm Beach, Florida, Sports Talk 790 Astroline starts now.
All right, it's go time. We're back at Astroline, Duffy Sports Grill. Downtown West Palm Beach on Clematis. A lot of Astros fans here. I'm Steve Sparks, and I'm alongside Michael Coffin, the voice of the Corpus Christi Hooks, the AA affiliate for the Astros. Michael, you've been here for 2 or 3 days. What's your general impression of this Astros camp so far?
Sparky, it's been a lot of fun. The guys are, for the most part, staying healthy and playing good baseball. I've gotten to see some really great action the last few days, and it's just a wonderful environment here in the Palm Beaches and getting to see spring training baseball. I just had a conversation a little bit ago that, you know, we have some Astros fans that have never experienced spring training, and you must do it. There's nothing quite like it. It's been a lot of fun, but I know these guys are getting ready to play some games that count, so that's great too.
That's it. So the Astros have gone from Cocoa Beach to Kissimmee and now West Palm Beach since 2017, and I really don't think, if you're a fan, you could really understand how nice it is to come here for spring training because of all the other ballparks that are so close that the Astros play, maybe 15 minutes away, the longest 45 minutes away. Every once in a while, they'll go across the state a couple of times in the spring, but most of the games, I would say 80%, or within driving distance of 15, 20 minutes. It's fantastic.
No, it is nice, and we saw that today. There was a ton of Astros fans in Jupiter for the Astros victory against the Marlins today. It's an intimate setting, you know, when you're in West Palm Beach at the ballpark there on the backfield. You really have great access. You get up close and personal with the players, and it's certainly not like that, you know, in the big league parks during the regular season. That's for sure.
Well, Michael, you know the two guests that we have on the show today. Our first guest is going to be Greg Kessinger. Our second guest is going to be Omar Lopez, who's been in the organization 26 years now.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, he was the manager with you in Corpus Christi.
Couple campaigns at AA.
26 years he's been. So
he's an Astro.
He is an Astro.
He's an Astro.
So it's fantastic. But we have, sitting to your left and to my right, Greg Kessinger, who...
We have him surrounded.
We have him surrounded. And Greg, first of all, thanks for coming in. This is a big deal for us to have you guys come in and get to know you a little bit better, more than anything, and let the fans get to know you too.
Yeah, happy to be here. Let me know what you want to know.
All right.
Great haircut, first of all, Gray.
I appreciate that.
That looks sharp. I like it.
Thank you.
It's a good look.
You found a barber here?
Yeah, I got a barber here up in Jupiter, a little bit north, but he's also a captain. He does some fishing charters too.
Ah. So
he's a jack of all trades.
All right. That's a good guy to know.
Absolutely.
Do you go fishing?
I haven't. I'm not a big get on a boat,
angler,
out in the ocean.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, a lot of people have gotten to know you because of your family, and it's royalty in Mississippi, and you probably don't even like that term, but your grandfather, who was a six-time All-Star with the Chicago Cubs, Don Kessinger, was the head coach at Ole Miss. I played and pitched against your uncle, Keith Kessinger, in AAA with the Cincinnati Reds. He was in Louisville, probably raking me. I remember back in third and just watching his back swoosh by. But your family's been doing this for a long time, so you were on our radar as soon as the Astros drafted you. What's it been like growing up around all those guys that knew so much?
It's really cool, and I think that nothing was forced upon me baseball-wise. They didn't care if I wanted to play baseball, basketball, football. They encouraged all of it. My grandfather, he played basketball at Ole Miss too, so you know he's all for playing everything. But you know, as I got older and found, you know, baseball is what I really want to pursue, what I want to do, You know, having them on my team and just being able to ask any baseball question I could ever think of, you know, growing up. They've seen it. They've been in my position. They've been playing short, or, you know, they've been in the box in those moments. And, you know, they still follow me. And even to this day, if I have any type of question, I can pick up my phone, call any of them, and they'll happily just, you know, tell me what they see, their thoughts. And they've seen me play a long time now. So, you know, they know what I'm thinking. They know, you know, how I play. And so, you know, having that on my side, that, I mean, it's hard to beat.
Yeah.
Well, and baseball specifically, do you have like an early memory or a fondest memory of, you know, being with your family and having it, you know, centered around baseball?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, we could talk about playing wiffle ball in the yard, or, you know, we'd make up games and make diving catches on the couch, or, you know, all that stuff that, you know, physically we were doing. But some of the stuff that sticks with me is any car trip that we would have, you know, traveling to play baseball or going to watch Ole Miss football, whenever we were in the car, it wasn't really listening to music or whatever. It was my grandfather being like, hey, you're playing shortstop, runners on second, a ball's hit to your backhand.
No way.
How about you throw it to third, or are you going to get the guy out at first? You know, there's one out or there's two outs. And
no, like, kidding.
That was our noise in the car. It was just talking baseball, and I thought it was so much fun. And but I think doing that at a young age just really helped me when I started playing. Like, I've already been in these situations because we've been talking about it forever.
Well, when did you realize that, you know, this, not everybody has this type of an education? You know, was it, you know, in high school there at Oxford High, you're all state guy there as well? I mean, did you realize, hey, I kind of have an edge just because of the mental part of the game, and we've been talking about this stuff?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I ever really knew, you know, anything different. Like, you know, for me, it was just, if somebody wasn't in the right place, then I'll just, you know, tell them, hey, I think you need to be over here. And it was just, you know, I never really thought about it like that. Just, I kind of always try to be aware of what's going on and make sure everyone else is too.
You mentioned Ole Miss football, and I've been to a couple of games in the Grove in Oxford.
You've been to the Grove?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Been there a couple of times. My oldest daughter went to Alabama. So we'd go there and we'd watch games, and I don't think there's an atmosphere like that in college football. And you probably going to those games, it was probably just such a rich environment for you to grow up in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, almost when I was in school there especially, you know, I said we get six of these a year. We get six home football games a year. Yeah. I was going to wake up at 8 in the morning. I was getting to the Grove. And I was every Saturday I was there. But my uncle does a tent. You know, he does the tailgating and the whole thing, the whole setup, the food. And so we the whole family basically gets together, and it's just a, you know, something we've done forever. And if you haven't been to the Grove, you got to get to the Grove. I'm not, you know, I am biased, but
yeah, I don't think there's anything like it. So I know it was a foregone conclusion, but I think I remember reading that you went ahead and went to some other schools when people were recruiting you out of high school. You wanted to make sure that you were looking around and not just tunnel visioned into one school that you probably dreamed of your whole life.
Yep, that's right. I guess it would have been at some point my freshman year of high school, Ole Miss was going to offer me. And my dad actually, we had a good relationship with Coach Bianco, kind of like my whole life being from Oxford. And my dad told Coach Bianco, hey, I want you to wait to offer him, because I don't want him just to commit, because this is all he knows.
Mm-hmm.
So during that summer after my freshman year, you know, went and played at all these different cities with my travel ball team, but we would go visit and did like LSU and Vanderbilt and, you know, so on and so forth. You know, just checking out all these schools while I was playing in these cities. And for me, all that did was make me want to go to Ole Miss more. Like, it was cool because I would go see something. I'm like, well, Ole Miss has that. Or, you know, I can get this at home. And led me back to Oxford.
Ole Miss, like, is prettier.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing. Like, they don't have the Grove, you know. So when I got back home, they ended up offering. I committed pretty quick. And couldn't have been happier about it.
Off you went, yep.
A second round pick of the Astros in 2019 out of Ole Miss. Made your big league debut last year. A great campaign in the minors, 283 with a 397 on base average. But selected on June the 5th, you remained with the team the rest of the way and a contributor in the postseason as well. Looking back at your debut season, what comes to mind?
Obviously, it was such a cool experience. You know, you put in so much work, and to be able to have that moment and debut and first hit and first home run, all those things, like, man, that's what you dream about, and doing, just being in those moments. And then being a part of, you know, this Houston Astros group is just special. And we have such a cool clubhouse. And, you know, from the time that I got up there and even in spring trainings and years past, and they just, our guys do such a good job. It's very welcoming. When I walk in the clubhouse, I felt like I belonged. You know, they were leading me the right way. They showed me where to be, what to do, how to act, and how to win. I mean,
yeah,
these guys just, they're very so professional. And I think that was a really cool part about last year was I wasn't getting to play a whole lot last year, but just being able to watch and learn and see these guys and how they take care of their mm-hmm. business. It's just so professional. And that's why they've been so good for so long. Yeah.
And as a shortstop, your entire career growing up, a shortstop at Ole Miss, primarily a shortstop in the minor leagues, and here you get to the big leagues, and they're asking you to play everywhere, including first base, where you play today. What was that transition like, going primarily from a shortstop to moving around the diamond?
As soon as I got drafted, you know, it started kind of early, bouncing around, and you know, just they always told me, hey, you never know, you may need to be here, it might help you get to the big leagues and all those things. And for me, I just want to help us win, and hey, put me wherever. Like I said, let's just win games, and I feel like I can help us win in a lot of places, and I feel confident everywhere. And Omar's always on me about getting, you know, make sure you get work at the third, make sure you get work at the second, first, make sure, you know, you're getting your reps, and you know, being able to do that. And if I could take care of my business, you know, on the practice side, once the game comes, you know, that's the fun part.
Talking to Astros utility man Gray Kessinger. Gray, you came to spring training first, I believe, is 2021. This is your fourth spring training with the big league club, I believe. And every year you've gotten bigger and stronger. And I remember asking somebody on the staff about you last year, and they were saying, it's really noticeable. We knew he was going to be a hard worker, but he's really put in the work in the weight room. When did you realize that you probably had to get a little bit stronger at this level?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of my off season. That's when I went and played in the fall league one of my off seasons. So that, you know, whatever, that 2 months that I was out there. But besides that, I haven't gone to play winter ball in anything. And I think a lot of that is I know that I need to be in the weight room. I need to keep getting stronger, and that's a, you know, that's something that can really help me. First of all, stay healthy, and then, you know, really add to me as a hitter. I think, you know, you look at a lot of guys around the league who are really good hitters, and one common thing is they're all really strong. Mm-hmm. So that's just been a focus, that every offseason, just, you know, get a little better, because you can't just, you know, go to the offseason, come back and be as strong as you want to be, or if somebody knows how to do that, please tell me. So but, you know, just chipping away at it, trying to get in the gym and find kind of a routine and a schedule that benefits me the best. I think over the last few years, I've really learned my body more and more and what works best for me. And I think that's a big part of, like, the growth that, you know, I've started to see.
What are some of the little things that this organization in particular has taught you how to be a better baseball player? Because I look and I remember hearing people talk and who they're working out with in the off season, and they'll say something about, you know, they're working on this. And some guys in other organizations haven't even heard of that yet. It just feels like the Astros are always on the cutting edge of some of these analytics on ways and push the limits to get guys better.
I think you said it. They're always, you know, looking for, you could be a really good baseball player, but that doesn't mean that you're great at everything. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, let's say that player A is a really good hitter, really good defender, but he's not a great base runner. And he doesn't do anything off-season. Player B is the same guy, but he goes and works on his base running in the off-season, gets a little bit faster. Well, now he's the better player, and all he did was, you know, go work on something that some people, it goes unnoticed.
Yeah, it gets neglected.
And,
yeah.
Right, and so I think that's what, you know, our organization does such a great job about. It's, we're not saying you're not a good player if we want you to go work on something. We just want you to be the best player you can be and always stay focused. And sometimes it's not even, like, one thing that we preach is our pre-pitch, like, how do we get ready? How do you get the best jumps on the ball? And some, that's not even always physical. That's just, hey, your pre-pitch or your reaction time the last month hasn't been very good. Now you just know it's a focus. You don't change anything, but you're aware of it.
Yeah.
And now your next month is better.
It's that just accountability.
Exactly. So it's not, as long as you have the open mind of, hey, we're not saying anything's wrong. We're just saying if you focus on it, it can be better. And I think that's a good area, or area that we're really good about.
Interesting.
Made your big league debut June the 7th in Toronto. Got your first hit in your next ball game. What do you remember most about that initial, about the call-up, you know, whether it's interacting with your family or getting to the ballpark? I mean, what comes to mind when you think about those first few days in the big leagues?
Yeah, the call-up moment was obviously super special, and called the wife, called the parents, called the brother, called the grandparents, you know, did all made all the phone calls, and then I was like, all right, now we got to get to Toronto. So where's the passport? You know, all that kind of stuff. And you know, my dad was joking. He's like, you could have gotten called up anywhere. I don't know where my passport is, but Toronto, like, this is not easy.
Through the ringer.
So, but we get, you know, land in Toronto, and then the game was at, you know, 7 o'clock or whatever. And I remember landing, and I was already going to be kind of pushing to get to stretch to be ready for BP and stuff. And it took my bags an hour and a half to get off the plane.
Oh my goodness!
So I'm sitting in the airport, like, wow. All right, we got to hurry this up. Do I just go to the field? What do I? So finally get the bags, get to the stadium, and I remember just walking out there and just taking a second, like, wow. Hey, you know, this is pretty cool, right? Like, you know, we're in the big leagues, we're here, and then didn't play the first, I think, two games, and then played the third game in Toronto, and you know, once I got that first at bat, walked on the field for the first time, the craziest part was, it was just a baseball game.
Yeah.
Like everything leading up to it was the stressful stuff. And then they said, play ball, and everything just felt normal again.
You're like, thank goodness.
I'm glad the game has started, because leading up to all this has been way more stressful than what's happening right now. And I think that just shows that.
Prepared you your know, life I'm, for this. I mean,
right. You know, there's a preparation aspect of it where once we got to the game, we knew we were good.
Yep. First home run, Independence Day against Colorado. Became the third generation of your family to homer in the big leagues. What was it like to circle the bases that first time on your first major league home run?
It was really cool. I hit it. It's like, I think that's got a chance. Went out, and then there's this split second where I was like, all right, should I act like I've done it before, or should I enjoy it? And I was like, I chose to enjoy it. Smiling, high-fiving everybody, and you only hit your first homer once. So yeah. I was like, let's take this moment and really enjoy it.
And I just get chills just even asking people about that, because it's tough for us, you know, as fans to put yourself in those shoes and to round the bases after hitting a home run and having the crowd go nuts and you just kind of seeing everything come to fruition there with one of those big swings.
Awesome. It was awesome. And I get done with the game, and we were talking about, you know, my uncle and my grandfather earlier, and I get a text from my uncle that said, it took you a few more at-bats than me to get your first homer, but congratulations, because he homered on his first at-bat.
How about that?
No kidding.
I think so, yeah, his first at-bat. So then he was telling me congrats, but he had to throw that in there.
Just a little dig.
Any nerves, World Series, when things start going on? I know the media is out of the locker room, so you guys can kind of prepare and get ready for games. What's it feel like? You get on the line and the World Series and the playoffs and all that's at stake. Playing against the Rangers was an unbelievable experience, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, going into the postseason, the guy said, hey, this is different. Like, there's a different feel. There's a different – it's just different. I mean, I didn't know what does that mean, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well,
you understand
you
right
out
away.
You find out quick. I mean, it's just every pitch, just you can just feel how much it means. And then going into the game that I got in versus the Rangers, you know, I got – a couple innings before, they're like, hey, you might get in here. It's like, start stretching, be ready. And
did you get an adrenaline spike?
I was like, oh, yeah. Like, yeah. This is like, no. So for a couple innings, I'm stretching. I've never been so loose. Like, let's go. We got to start.
Yeah.
Like, get me in there or something. And then it's kind of same thing, though. Once we got in the game, then all the nerves kind of went away. And it's like, all right, now we're playing baseball. What's my job? But it's those moments where you're not really sure when you're getting in there or what's happening. Like, that's the nerve. That's where the nerves are.
When they say that these games are different, what do you notice about guys in their preparation? Is it the same?
Well, I would say the preparation-wise and how we approach the game, our guys, the reason we have so much success in the playoffs is because they're the exact same.
Right.
I mean, those guys...
They want to win every day.
They come in, they've been there before, and the media and the clubhouse and all those things, like, it doesn't faze them. They're going to stick to their routines, stretch at the same time, hit at the same time. I mean... They're not changing anything. They're not going to go.
It's a great lesson.
They're not going to go hit anymore just because it's the postseason or doing. They're just, hey, it's another baseball game. But you know, they know the importance of it. So you know, yeah. There's still an intensity level that probably goes up. But the how they approach the game and the way they prepare, that it's the same. And that's why they're so good in those moments.
Well, and you had a huge moment in the playoffs last year, Game 5 of the ALCS, 2-1, nobody out in the ninth inning. And you robbed Marcus Semien with a leaping catch at short after just being inserted into the ball game. What do you recall about that sequence?
I remember that before, when the guy got on second, all I was telling myself was, I don't know if I catch it. I don't know. This ball will not get to the outfield. Like, this guy will not score if this ball is hit to me. And so hit it in the air, caught it, and I was like, all right, we're good. He didn't score, right? So I went back to press, like, all right, keep going. And then I think he punched out the last guy and obviously was ready for a ground ball to come and all those things, but I was really happy that he struck that guy out.
There you go.
It's a little bit easier that way.
There you go.
Last thing for Gray Kessinger. Gray, I want to ask you what it feels like in spring training right now. You feel like you're fighting for a position on the team right now, or how are the nerves going in the last 10 or 11 days of spring?
Yeah, for me, it's just how can I get better every day? You know, it is spring, it's early, and, you know, the thing that we're all working on, and I don't really want to, you know, concern myself with all the things that I can't control, and how can I, you know, go in tomorrow and get a little better? How can I help our team win in the game? How can I put together a good at bat, make a play on defense, and just all the same things that, you know, you're working on, you know, all season. How can we just keep getting a little bit better every day? And if you focus on yourself, it's amazing how everything can work out for you in the end.
There you go. That's Gray Kessinger. Just a mature young player for the Astros. Going to be a big part of what these guys do in the future, including this year. So thanks a lot for joining us. Really enjoy getting to know you a little better.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
You're the man, Gray.
We'll be back with a little bit more of Astroline right after this.
Memberships for the 2024 Buddies Club presented by HEB are on sale now. Children 12 and under will receive tickets to select Astros games during the 2024 season, a reversible bucket hat, backpack, socks, and lanyard, plus the opportunity to be selected for exclusive Buddies Club experiences, including the chance to meet Houston Astros players, all for only $40. Don't miss your chance to be part of the club today. Visit astros.com/buddies to join.
Spring training is back in the Palm Beaches this spring. Experience Astros baseball, plus the best beaches, dining, and entertainment after the game. There's nothing better than Astros spring ball in sunny Florida. For tickets and more, visit astros.com/spring to book your trip. Plan your visit now to the spring training home of the Houston Astros. The Palm Beaches.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for fun in the heart of Houston? Experience Houston's premier PGA Tour event, the Texas Children's Houston Open, March 28th through 31st at Memorial Park. Children under 15 get in free. Get your tickets at tchouopen.com.
Hey, welcome back to Astro Lodge. We're at Duffy Sports Grill in downtown West Palm Beach on Clematis. I'm Steve Sparks alongside Michael Coffin. And we've got another guest after Gray Kessinger. It's going to be Omar Lopez, who is the bench coach for the Astros, been in the organization for 26 years. Want to remind you, single game tickets for the 2024 season are on sale right now. Make sure you get your tickets to see your Houston Astros on their relentless pursuit for baseball's biggest prize. Visit astros.com/tickets to get yours today. Endless pursuit right there. We heard it. I mean, this is an endless pursuit, Omar. Every single year, you guys are aiming for that prize, aren't you?
Well, thank you for having me here.
Thanks for being here.
You said 26 years twice. I'm getting old, looks
You're
like.
You're not that old.
Omar. Yeah, 47. 47. People is asking me, like, at what age you start coaching. My first day official with the Astros was December 1st, 1998.
How about 1998?
Yeah, that was my first day. And since then, you know, it's been like, this has been my family. I got Astros blood in my body.
What was that day like when you got hired to be a coach? I mean,
well, it's a long story. Uh-huh. You know, I got released. You know, the Diamondbacks let me go, went back to Venezuela, and thinking about it for a couple of weeks about what am I going to do with my life. I signed up for, you know, like a workout gym and everything. Then 2 days later, I was looking to myself in the mirror and I said, what are you doing? You never worked so hard. Now you want to start to work hard? I mean, it's kind of late, you know? So I went to the Astros complex. Yeah, it's interesting. I went to the Astros complex because I went to the academy for 2 weeks, kind of do tryouts and everything. They liked me, but they never come to with an offer. Mm-hmm. So I went to another tryout with the Chicago White Sox, and I ended up signing with the White Sox. But the people, the Astros coaches and everything, they treat me so well that every time when I went back to Venezuela after my season with the White Sox in the States, they always there for me on the parallel season, which is the rookie team of the Winter Bowl teams. They're always there for me to give me an advice on hitting, offense, defense, whatever. Andres Reiner, which was in charge of the baseball operations internationally, he always said that the day that I decided to retire, he wants to talk to me to make me be a coach.
No kidding. Okay? So he planted that seed that day.
Yeah, just like that.
And never thought of that.
I never thought about that. And right. Then I got released like 3 years later. And then I went straight to the Astros Academy, and he was there. And that was kind of, I think, was May 28th. And he said, I don't have anything for you right now. The only thing that I can promise to you, or if you want to do it, just come to our complex and switch uniforms from coach, from player to be a coach. See if you like it or not for maybe 3-4 months. And 4 months later.
So you did it for free?
Yeah, for free. But, you know, it was close to my hometown, like 20 minutes away. Okay. My mom and my dad was working. You know, they were financially, they were okay.
Yeah.
They can afford this baby.
Afford to feed time. You. Afford to feed you.
Yeah, you know, transportation and everything. So they were taking me to the complex every single day. So 4 months later, Andres Reiner came back. And in our interview or our conversation, he asked me, back in those days, our GM was, I think, was Jerry Hunsicker.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And in our conversation, he asked me, why do you think you got released? Why do you think the Diamondbacks let you go? And I said, I was straight to him, like honest. And I said, because I didn't take this career the way they should be, you know, with discipline, responsibility, and also, you know, dedication.
That's interesting that you recognize that at that time.
And by the time that I decided to start, right, the release comes up, and that's too late. Sometimes you make decisions in the wrong time.
Yeah.
You know, and...
How many times have you shared that with young players that you were coaching?
That's the only thing that I can share. Plus all the knowledge that throughout the beginning of my years as a coach.
Yeah.
Because I only played three. I only reached out all the way to high A. Okay, I didn't play double A, I didn't play triple A, I didn't even attend to a big league camp.
Yeah.
So my job was to kind of develop myself through every single level to get to know about the game, to get to know about everything. And obviously, I so far, knock on wood, God has been putting a great plan for me, surrounding great coaches
sure.
back in those days to understand the game, to be a pro, to help the kids, to understand that it's not about me, it's about them, it's about the players. And it's about, you know, when you fail, it's about discipline. It's about discipline, and the most important thing for me is being like, I still love in this. Sure. I still love the game, you know.
And when you go back to that time, you know, you reflect on your 20-year journey to get to the big leagues on the big league staff, and then becoming bench coach this season, being a world champion, going to the All-Star game, managing your country's team in the World Baseball Classic in Venezuela. You know, what's that been like for you just to understand the sacrifices that your family has made? You mentioned your parents back home in Venezuela and the family here, obviously, with Helen and the kids in Orlando. I mean, it takes a lot to get to the big leagues, and it's a huge investment.
One of the biggest key in my life is my family. I got my little one right there.
He's not so little anymore.
Yeah, he's not little anymore. The junior is there.
I think he can take you.
So the same amount of year that I have with the Astros is the same amount of year that I've been married. You know, because right away when Andres Reiner came to me and said, this is your contract, we were happy. And right away I went back to my house and I said, Helen, do you want to marry me? right away. So, and I think it was very important for me because I was 21, 22, you know. And basically, in that age, what it looks like for 21, 22 years old, young guy in these times too.
Sure.
You know, friends go there. So
a lot of distractions.
A lot of distractions.
Yeah.
In order to get into this industry, you have to become like a whatever. I said this to the young guys, like an old man right away, like an old man that already have a family, have a job, and you have to treat this in the right way. So I love my girlfriend back then, which is my wife right now, and I decided, you know what, let me get married so I'm kind of build up responsibilities around myself, you know, because I didn't have the discipline as a player. So now I have to build up discipline in myself to become a coach. And also, having a family, build up a relationship, get married, I think it's going to help me too. And thanks God, it's been really good, because without my wife and without my family, it's hard for me to be here. It's been a lot of sacrifice, like you said. But those sacrifices, it's been really good. You know why? Because my entire family love the game, love baseball.
And the experiences they get to have now. I mean,
Yes. It's
even the minors, you know, just having OJ, you know, around the clubhouse every mm-hmm. day.
Every day. And they know the sacrifice that I do, but they know it's not that hard for me to do the sacrifice, because they feel the passion for myself on the field to work with these guys. I don't have time to go to the ballpark, to go back to the apartment. Every single win, every single time that we lose, I'm suffering really hard, because this is my family. I almost, you know, leave this organization this past off season. Couple organizations call for interviews, you know, like go someplace else. And I was like, oh my God, no, I don't see myself with another uni. I haven't been in this situation. I love the Texas. I love Houston. I love this. And, you know, like at this age, and talking with Enos Cabell the other day, I said, I'm 47. I would like to retire with the Astros. You know, I would like to retire with the Astros. I would like to end my career with the Astros. I would like, after that, be in the side that these people in front of me are, because I would like to become a baseball fan. I would like to go around and follow the team. I would like to get a beer and cheers and say, let's go, whoever. You know, because I'm inside, I'm like, let's go, our baby. Boom, let's go. But sometimes I would like to have a beer and say, yeah, you know, stuff like that. So yeah, that's when we celebrate.
No responsibility.
Yeah, responsibility. I got to stay in touch and, you know, you know who's coming. But, you know, send somebody to the cage. And, you know, and also it's because we also want the fans come to our ballpark every single day and enjoy what we do.
Well, they're a part of it, right? You guys feel it. I mean, Minute Maid Park is rocking, folks. Absolutely rocking. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
Listen, last year when we were down 2-0, and then we won 3 in a row against Texas. After the game that Halsey hit the homer in the 9th, I went back to our World Series, our 2022, on YouTube to look every single video to experience the atmosphere from the fans, because when we were right there down in the dugout, we don't feel it because we're so locked in in our game, like working, concentrate, that we don't feel that. But and then when I go to the social media, the YouTube, and I was like, oh my God, this is loud.
Just crazy.
This is really cool. And that's what I would like to be in 10, 12 years from now. You know what I mean?
You get to experience on that end. I'm interested in this. So you spent so much time in the minor leagues. What's the biggest difference between a player in A-ball, AA, AAA in the major leagues that you've noticed?
It could be, I mean, there is a lot, you know, there is a lot of difference, but the main one is, you know, could be the age, the experience. Some of them, especially in low A, they don't know how to play the game much. You got to kind of work number one in their skills to kind of polish their skills. And then when they move up, kind of teaching, kind of do some maintenance work, and then start to work about how to play the game. And then in double A is basically be more pro. Understand your routine is about quality, not quantity, because you got to do more quantity on the lower levels to create reps so the body gets the information and works automatically. Once they get to AAA, it's about kind of understand how the routines works and what specifically do you need that is going to make you make the next step, which is be in the big leagues. Obviously, in the big leagues, it's about winning.
Consistent.
It's about consistency, which is the hardest thing to do in baseball, regardless of the level, is the hardest thing. But you can have consistency. It's easy to find it if you have the discipline and also the commitment from the mental to your heart, you know?
How hard is it for you to understand and know that somebody has the talent to be a major leaguer and they just can't mentally get to that to that stage?
They need to believe, you know, they need to believe in themselves. They need to work on the mental toughness, you know, to be, is to understand and committed that I can do it, I can do this. But at the same time, you know, understand the reality, the whole picture. Do I have a chance? I don't have a chance? And work around the coaches. What's the best thing that is going to help me to stay in the big leagues and keep moving forward?
Chatting with Astros bench coach Omar Lopez here on Astroline. Don't forget, 2024 season tickets are on sale now. Catch every home run, every double play, and every game of the 2024 season by becoming an Astros season ticket holder and get access to every postseason game. Visit astros.com/season tickets to learn more.
A lot more with Omar Lopez. Back with more of Astrolaunch at Duffy Sports Grill in downtown West Palm Beach right after this.
Share the excitement of Astros baseball all season long with 2024 Astros season tickets. When you buy season tickets, you lock in access to 2024 opening day tickets versus the New York Yankees, postseason tickets, and every game in between. That's all the plays, all the giveaways, and all the excitement. All live from your seats at Minute Maid Park. For all the great benefits of being an Astros season ticket holder and to secure your seats, visit astros.com/season tickets or call 713-259-8402 today.
Spring training is back in the Palm Beaches this spring. Experience Astros baseball, plus the best beaches, dining, and entertainment after the game. There's nothing better than Astros spring ball in sunny Florida. For tickets and more, visit astros.com/spring to book your trip. Plan your visit now to the spring training home of the Houston Astros, the Palm Beaches.
All right, welcome back to Duffy Sports Grill. We're on Astroline, and we're talking with Astros bench coach Omar Lopez. I'm Steve Sparks, and I'm with Michael Coffin, voice of Corpus Christi Hooks. And we want to talk to you about a certain player who's going to be an Astro for life, Omar, who Omar was the first manager for Jose Altuve when he signed as professional. Tell us a little bit about Jose in those early times.
Ah, Jose, unbelievable.
So you've seen everything with Jose.
You know, I spend, you know, like almost every 2 days we're having a dinner, we're talking on the field, and I still don't believe it. He's the same kid. He's 30.
He's a kid out there.
I don't know. He's 33, 32. Yeah. I don't know. He probably will get mad at me if he said his age. But he's the same guy, the same kid. You know, they still have the love for the game, you know. He went through a lot of stuff early in his life as a player that I think make him be stronger. And we were talking about that the other day. Like, you cannot challenge that little man.
Right.
You said, no, you're not capable to do. Oh, really? Okay. He not said anything to you, but he's going to work hard to prove that he's capable to do, you know. And that's what make Jose special, you know.
And there were a lot of people that, you know, were kind of doubters early on about Jose and his abilities and what he could do for the Astros. But you were one of those guys that saw it. I mean, you had a front row seat there in 2007. What did you see at that time that told you this guy can make an impact in the big leagues?
I wasn't able to see right away from the get go Jose, because I was coaching third base for Al Pedrique, which was in charge of international operations for us back then. He was managing one of the team in winter ball, and I was coaching third base for him. So the first not official season for Jose was what we call parallel league, the rookie team of the winter ball. So one of my best friends that unfortunately passed away 4 or 5 years ago due to COVID. He was working, you know, by then for us in Venezuela. He was the first guy that was managing that team, you know. So I wasn't able to see Jose because I was in winter ball. So by the time the Venezuelan summer league team in 2007, that was the first official one, okay? So Altuve's first year, and then we have some players that they already have 2 years, 3 years, and we have to make those kids play first instead of Jose or the first-year players. So after...
There's a pecking order.
Yes, a pecking order. Right. In order to kind of see if we can develop those guys and send them to the States the next year. So after 1 week, the second week, Johan Maya, that was my friend, he started to say, hey, Omar. He said, Rumi, you got to put the enano. The enano and the translation to English. And this not, don't feel like this is bullying. It's something that we have fun in Venezuela. Yeah. Midget. Okay? So we got to put the enano. You got to put the enano. You got to put Jose. You got to put Jose in the game. Say, I can, Johan. I have to develop this guy first. Then the first week we went 3-3. The second week we went 3-3, and we had a great team, you know. And then we need offense. And then took me like Saturday and Sunday, the full weekend we don't have a game. And then Sunday night I called Johan and said, "Hey, the Nano is going to start to play next week. I mean Monday, more often."
And he was sitting on the bench.
Oh, he was sitting on the bench. He was playing maybe once or twice a week.
Okay.
Once or twice a week. So the third week, I started to put Jose every single day. The rest was his story.
Yeah.
It was lit off, and it was boom, boom, running crazy, making plays. Ended up hitting like a 360-something.
It was the MVP.
He was the MVP.
Of that league.
He was the MVP.
Unreal.
And after that, I said, Johan, thank you. And we ended up winning the whole thing. We won the whole thing. We went to the finals. We went to the finals that year against Pittsburgh Pirates and Venezuelan Summer League. And we won the whole thing. We were the champions back then. So Arturo has been a champion since he started.
How many other levels have you had him on your team?
No, never. Because Jose, the following year...
He went up pretty quick.
Yeah, no, that's another 10. You know, like, I don't know if I believe everybody's kind of familiar with what happened with my country, political situation,
yep,
economic situation. So a lot of academies start to leave the country. You know, and goes, you know, shut down operations. And also no coordinators, no people from here were able to go to our country to see our players. So only one person that was assistant to the pitching coordinator. So he shows up and he said, "Omar, we need to put a list together with the names, the potential names that will go to the States next year, you know, in order to work on their visas, their working visas."
Okay.
And I said, okay, fine. You know, we put together a list. Al Pedrique, myself, Pablo Torrealba, which was the coordinator. And we put Jose Altuve because he was the MVP. He kills the season. He was unbelievable. So we got to the point that we have a conference call. Okay, conference call. Ricky Bennett, that was our farm director back then.
Yep.
It was like a phone in the middle, speaker phone. Al Pedrique in front of me. Pablo Torrealba on my left side, and you know, and I was right here, like sitting in front of Pedrique. We went through every single player of the list, and he never mentioned Jose Altuve. He did not mention Jose Altuve. And then I went like to Pedrique. And then he said right away, "Oh, Ricky, that's right. Hey, we got one more guy, Jose Altuve. Yeah, that's the little guy. Yeah, that's the little guy.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's the little guy." And he said, "I'm going to let Omar to kind of walk you through about who's this type of player." And I was like, "Oh, my God, Omar again." So I said, "Ricky, I went last year to extended sprint, to a sprint training and extended. I know we don't have, back in those days, we don't have Gulf Coast League team. We only have Appalachian League team, which is in Greenville, Tennessee."
Right. Mm-hmm.
"And it was hard to bring guys from outside, from the different countries, because we don't have a spot to bring those guys." So I said, "Ricky, could you mention to me those names of those players?" And he said, "Okay, this guy. I said, "Ricky, with all respect, all of you that you mentioned, they're not even close to be good like Jose Altuve.
How about that?
The only thing that you have to, if you look at Altuve, you have to find a loop. Because he's little. He's very little. And we're looking for big guys, you know. And this guy, the only thing that doesn't have is the size. But he have the ability, he have the tools, and he have this." And then he start to say, "Omar, I can't. I have too many guys." He say, "Okay, you know what? I want you to do this. Want you to bring Altuve to the extended sprint as a guest, invited, okay? But you have to promise me. You have to promise me, because I've been there. You have to give the order to the coaches out there that this kid needs to play to get the opportunity to see if he can do it or not.
You got to see it.
You know, you got to see it. Because I know how everything works, Ricky. If you don't give that order, they're not going to play Jose. And then you're going to end up sending back to my country to play for me because he had more years available to play with us in Venezuelan Summer League. So obviously, he agreed. He said, yes, let's do it. And I was like, yes. And then we sent Jose to extend their sprint. I wasn't there because I was 2007. My first year in the United States was 2009. And everything what I hear during the time of April, May, and part of June from the States to us is Jose Altuve was putting a show in Kissimmee, Florida, a show every single day. When I went to instructionally in October, they were saying to me, Omar, the enano, the little guy, amazing, amazing. And you know what? The rest is his story. I mean, you
double guys, A to the big leagues.
Double A to the big leagues. And, you know, like, that's him.
Well, this is Omar Lopez. That's Jose Altuve. Omar Lopez is the new bench coach for the Astros. He's been on the staff for the last 5 or 6 years. He's been in the organization for 26 years.
I guess.
Started when you were 10 years old, right?
Yeah.
Omar, thanks a lot for joining us, man.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are going to be great. We're really excited about you and Joe and the rest of the staff on what it even feels like right now with this team. It feels really good.
It feels really good. Yep. I mean, I've been in a lot of big league camps. I've been in a lot of camps and spring training. And I don't know. I don't know if it's because I'm the bench coach or what. I don't know if it's – but the vibes and everything in the clubhouse, the way that the guys are working. And I got this feeling before managing in the past, working in the past. And it's amazing. Sometimes I'm a little worried because I want something goes wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
Everything too is good. So smooth. You know, and the players are so connected more than ever. And I think it's going to be a special year.
Yeah.
We just need to pray it and God keep us healthy.
That's right.
The entire year, you know, and the plan that he had for us. We want to be right there to follow up.
Thanks for hanging out, man.
No problem.
Astros bench coach Omar Lopez. Don't forget to join the official Kids Club of the Houston Astros and sign up for the Astros Buddies Club presented by HEB today. For just $38 plus taxes and fees, Buddies Club members receive an exclusive jersey, hat, drawstring, backpack, lanyard, and 4 tickets to an Astros game. Visit astros.com/buddies to sign up today.
We're at Duffy Sports Grill, downtown West Palm Beach. One more segment of Astroline right after this.
Get ready to experience the thrill of the game as your Houston Astros embark on their relentless pursuit of another championship. Whether you're a diehard fan or looking for some exciting moments, the Astros have the perfect ticket plan for you. Choose from full and partial season tickets to be there for every unforgettable play. Want more flexibility? Opt for a mini plan and catch the action on your own terms. With options for 3 games or all 81, there's a plan to suit every fan. Visit astros.com/ticket plan to explore all the options and their benefits.
Here we go, wrapping up our last segment of Astroline. Duffy Sports Grill in West Palm Beach on Clematis. So thankful for this relationship we've had with these guys since 2017. Michael Coffin, a great show tonight.
It was a lot of fun.
Gray Kessinger, we got a chance to know him a little bit better, and Omar Lopez, who we've known for quite a while now. There's a reason why he's been in this organization 26 years.
No doubt about it. And, you know, as a minor league manager, winning those championships and then having all these guys come up as big leaguers, I mean, he's been on the ground floor and developing the system as Gray has done. There's no doubt why the Astros have been so successful for so long, and it starts with this core.
Can you believe it's only 16 days till first opening day, the Astros, on Thursday against the New York Yankees? I can't. It's going so quickly here. We've got less than 2 weeks here in West Palm Beach.
I mean, I can see it. Sold-out crowd, Minute Maid Park. There's going to be bunting. It's going to be a lot of fun. Love bunting.
Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, bud.
All right. Matt Boltz is on the controls. I want to thank him. Josh C., the studio engineer, every time do a great job. Michael Coffin, who's filling in for Robert for a few more days here. You've been doing this for 4 or 5 years. It's been a pleasure working with you, buddy.
Love you, buddy.
All right, man. West Palm Beach, we love you guys. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Astroline.
Astroline. You've been listening to Sports Talk 790 Astroline, the official preseason show of Astros baseball.
I love this city. I love this team.
Astroline. On Sports Talk 790, home of the Stros.
See you later!
Okay, picture this.
It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.